Downtown Bloomington becomes a world of fanciful what-ifs in history, fashion, and science this weekend. GLT's Laura Kennedy has more on the return of a unique event.
Cogs and Corsets, a Central Illinois steampunk happening, returns to downtown Bloomington in a celebration of elaborate costuming, outrageous gadgetry, and history, both real and imagined. Melanie Shelito and Kathy Sutliff are two of the organizers of the event that features both free and ticketed events and runs this Friday through Sunday. This is the second year for Cogs and Corsets. It follows a debut year that Melanie Shelito considers a marvelous success.
We had no idea what to expect. We hoped that the community would turn out. And not only did the local community turn out, but we had folks come out of the woodwork from Chicago, Wisconsin, Missouri.
Steampunk tourism, then.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Steampunk people like to travel. It's amazing.
So there was enough success for the first year. You decided to go with a second year with Cogs and Corsets. Are you setting the bar higher this year?
It got bigger, yeah, because I think what I know what happened was that the vendors that we had and the performers that we had, you know, the steampunk community is pretty interwoven and they're pretty well connected. And those people and the visitors went back home to their own groups and their own people and they went, wow, Bloomington Normal put on an amazing event. It was year one and it was unbelievable. So next thing we know, these performers, like Oklahoma, they're reaching out to us saying, hey, can we come and perform for you? And so these actually very well-known performers and troops and individuals are reaching out saying, we heard great things. And our vendors, oh my goodness, we have vendors from like five states.
Oh, easily more than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Florida, Alabama, Missouri, Iowa.
What are they vending?
I'm excited. We have a ceramist this year, so we have some artwork in there. But we have hat makers and clothing makers and jewelry makers and people who make odd objects out of found pieces, obtainium, as was one phrase they use.
Obtainium. I love that.
Wherever you can get it. Yeah. And we have several authors of steampunk novels, which is exciting. We have one group coming in who's going to be vending out of a Vardo wagon.
A Vardo wagon?
Yeah. You know, the painted wagons that the Romani people, they've got one, and they vend out of it. So we're going to have that, I think, pride of place downtown. It's going to be a spectacle, to be sure.
Is this a family-friendly event?
Oh, certainly. Most definitely. Matter of fact, we are lucky enough that we have the Children's Discovery Museum partnering with the Museum of History to do family-friendly events on the grass, both Saturday and Sunday. Oh, and Friday night as well.
Maybe some croquet will be in the offing?
Sunday. Sunday will be open croquet on the lawn, but the kids' activities are actually STEAM activities. Get
oh,
it?
Oh, really?
Get it?
I love that.
So they'll be making their own little...
The parachutes?
That's right. Well, airships that they're racing with the airships.
There's an airship race?
There's a Van de Graaff machine so that you can put your hand on it and your hair all stands out. So that's the science behind a lot of these period things. And, oh, yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Now, we all know what steampunk looks like, and it's sort of like future past kind of style wise.
The future that never was.
Exactly. But what is steampunk underneath? What is the spirit of steampunk?
So my favorite is actually sort of stolen from Eric Larson from TeslaCon, and what it becomes, at least to me, and everybody's got their own take, but it becomes this really creative community of people who are makers and artists and theater, and it is an inclusive group to be how you interpret steampunk to be. So you get to sort of create your own reality. You get to bring your own vision to this. And when all these different people with different visions get together, it becomes this beautiful cacophony of who my persona is. And so I would say inclusiveness is the way to go. You see everything. You see everything. And it's all okay.
Yeah, and that's the best part, is that there is no right answer. It's not that steampunk is this way. It's steampunk is what you want to make it. You don't have to dress up in the fancy costumes if you don't want to. If you're really into the literature or really into the music, just come and enjoy that. You can enjoy various aspects of it and not have to take the whole pie.
It's one of the things I think when we've talked to this about, they say, well, I don't have any outfits. I'd feel weird. Please don't, because when you come, even if you never intend to put on a bustle or a corset or a top hat, You're going to come and you're just going to be amazed at the skill and the artistry and the fantasy of other people. We had an attendee last year say to one of us organizers, this was so incredible. It was like having a little slice of Disneyland right here in downtown, because everywhere you look, there's exotic, there's color, there's just people having just a really great time. And I think in our staid little Midwestern mind, like, that doesn't happen here.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it's alive and well, the fantasy occurs. And what was kind of neat we saw last year was there's one, the thing it's called, we have a tea room. It happens in the History Museum, and it's a little $5 pass, and you get three punches to go up. We have a British woman, Lady Garden, that runs our tea room. She's from the UK, so it's very legit. She's got all this vintage tea set, right? So you can go up there, have tea, you know. And we would see a mom with her daughter and her mom. So three generations would come, they'd get their tea pass, and they'd go and enjoy tea together, and they were all having a great time. They didn't necessarily dress up, but they came and experienced it, and they experienced it together. And I think that was just a really amazing thing.
You have a headliner who will be a part of this event, Professor Pike. Tell me about him. Kathy?
Oh, he's pretty fabulous. The best part about him is that he does his research. A lot of times you'll see panels that are all fantasy-based, and people will talk about werewolves and things like that, and that's fine. But he does his serious research. So if he's talking about airships, Victorian airships going to the moon, he goes back and does the research about the patents that were designed at that time period and what people were intending to do to actually go.
So were there actually patents, people wanting to take airships to the moon in the Victorian era?
Many.
I love these people.
There was an interesting thing in the documentary that we had showing on the 12th and the 22nd that talked about the different attitude that the Victorians had compared to what we have. You have cyberpunk is usually dystopia, where the world has been destroyed and everyone's kind of angry and they're trying to build themselves up. The thing about steampunk is in the Victorian era, they had a different approach to things. They were hopeful. They wanted to do things. They were like, we're going to make it to the moon. We're going to solve this problem. And they had the hope that was in them that is so different than what you can see today.
And that is a part of the current steampunk movement.
Yes. Yeah. And a good dose of whimsy. Very important to have the whimsy.
And I will say that Professor Pike's, we have him doing three different talks. They're all rather different. One is about this Victorian spacecraft. One is for the technology behind airships. And then one is H.G. Wells and the War of the Worlds and sort of its evolution and what it means to us.
So you do have a number of ticketed events like the tea, but you also have a lot of free events like the facial hair contest. Can you give us some tips?
That's new this year. That's new this year. So it could be anything. We don't know what to expect, but it's been getting a lot of buzz on Facebook.
But there's so much great facial hair out there right now. It seems to me this might be pretty stiff competition. So any tips for people who are entering this contest?
We're very pleased that The Stash, which is a salon for men, has joined in with us because they have a steampunk approach to their salon and decor. And so they're sponsoring this event. That'll be happening on Saturday afternoon, late Saturday afternoon. A lady can participate if she'd like, but
no judging.
But a gentleman may want to go and invest in some beeswax, or some sort of mustache wax, and can do all sorts of different things with the hair on his face.
I think there's going to be props for creativity and how it aligns with a persona, and we're getting really serious about this. So have a great time with it.
We do though have an event this year that no other STEAM convention has.
What's
You've
that?
Heard it here first.
Okay.
Yes, and Melanie, she came up with it. So.
It's our Cogs and Corsets signature event, and it is Dirigible Races. This one is sort of a walk-up, put your name on the list, and compete. And so we are so lucky this year to have a retired engineer on our planning staff. We had a cable, and we have airships hooked to this cable, and we have bellows. And so you are to blow. This is me making my hand action on a bellow. And you move your airship along the cable until it gets to the end, and it's got a little pin, and whoever pops the balloon at the end. And so I think it's a penny to play, so to pay for the cost of the balloon. And so it ought to just be a scream, and just for all ages, and debuting right here in Bloomington Normal.
That's Melanie Sheleteau and Kathy Sutliff, two of the organizers of Cogs and Corsets, a Central Illinois steampunk happening in downtown Bloomington this Friday through Sunday. I'm Laura Kennedy.
One of the most popular events at any steampunk happening is the teapot race, and Cogs and Corsets is no exception. The weekend also features a Tesla coil demonstration, a murder mystery dinner, and selfie photo op stations.